I'm going to use this one, yeah. Oh, sure, thank you. So that was risky, huh? I do also want to just commend the search team. I'm currently working in a church called Hillmar Covenant. It's in the middle of California, area where no one goes on purpose. It's not a vacation destination. Let's just leave it at that. Hillmar has actually just hired a lead pastor as well. It was close to a two-year search. Just the number of candidates that are out there for any church staff position is at an all-time low. So your search team worked hard, and it was a pleasure to get to know them. It's been a pleasure to get to know everyone this weekend. It's been full, as Pastor Peter mentioned, but it's just been so good. Thank you for being so welcoming and for loving on my family. And so thank you so much. So, my name is Theo Wilson, and it's a privilege to be here today. And, I'm kind of hoping that we do this again, you know, later this summer and into the fall and winter. And there we go. So, and those of you who are joining online, thanks for joining in. We did have a fun service last night where I shared a devotional as kind of a testimonial story of my life, and then we had some Q&A, and then after service today, there's going to be more. You know, I hear the students have this thing called the hot seat, and so we'll have an adult hot seat up here where questions have been submitted. There's a little bit of open mic time, isn't there? Okay, so be nice. Be nice. Okay, we'll have some of that. Then there's a parents meeting at 5 tonight for those parents of students. Do we have a location for that parents meeting? In the chapel, there we go. I don't know where the chapel is, but I'll be there. And it's back there, okay. There's lots of things back there. This building is incredible. It's like, it's a maze. So there's plenty of opportunities to get to know me. But if you can't make any of those things, just really briefly, I have been a youth pastor for 20 years. I'm wrapping up my 20th full-time year as a youth pastor. I graduated with my master's from North Park just a couple of years ago, and I'm on track to be ordained this July 1st. So, but I'm not Reverend. I'm Theo, so there we go. But to know me is to know that I love my family, and so here's my wife, Kendria. Would you stand, please? There we go. And my daughter, Gianna, who's shaking her head no at me. There we go. Yeah, So my wife and I will be married for 20 years next month. We have been doing ministry from the time that we are engaged, and she is, what? I said Parker? No, I'm talking about you first.
Sorry.
Thank you. This is how it goes in my home. Just kidding. All right. So my wife is not named Parker, my wife is named Kendria, and so we have been married for 20 years, and yes, as I mentioned, from the moment we were engaged, she is a little goofy. I am the family pastor candidate, but my wife is goofier than I am, which adds to her charm, and one of the reasons I fell in love with, I'm blessed to be married to her. Last night at the testimonial time, I forgot to introduce my oldest daughter. So I have two daughters. Parker there, she is 18. She's graduating, and she'll be attending college in Washington. So I'm not sure if things work out, like how much time she'd actually spend out here in Connecticut. She is one of the most driven teenagers I've ever met. Her grades are incredible. She's president of four clubs. She does way too much, and we're trying to teach her how to slow down. But she can change the world if she wants to. And last night, I just have to clarify, I omitted something last night. I mentioned how she got her name, and I mentioned that she was named after the inventor of the EpiPen. And I'm like, hey, who's got one? And, you know, all that stuff. Someone came up to me, and they're like, so why the EpiPen? The inventor of the EpiPen just happens to be Kendria's grandpa. So I forgot. There we go. So you're like, there we go. You're all like, oh, that's, I'm not that obsessed, okay? And then our youngest, Gianna, is with us on this trip. She is 16. She just got her driver's license. She's wrapping up her junior year. She will be a senior. It is one of the questions is, you know, does your daughter really want to move? And the answer is yes. She's had a great time out here. She loves nature. She kind of felt a call from God standing on the side of the Grand Canyon that God was going to use nature and her together to bless the world somehow. And so she loves the trees here. She's very perceptive. She really understands people and gets people. And she just has so many good things to say about people here. So that is, yeah. I would say that together as a family, we love to live out the second half of John 10:10, which we'll be focusing on in a little bit. So we love having fun together. We love serving Jesus together. So that's me and my family in a nutshell. I do come from agricultural land, California. How many of you here are farmers in some sense? Nobody. I see. What I hear. Okay. What?
Gardeners.
Well, I'm thinking like animal farmers. Do we have a special name for that here? No. Okay. You're a gardener? Yeah. You have chickens. There we go. You have chickens too. Has anyone here worked with sheep? Sheep? Give me an adjective to describe sheep. Stubborn? Not super what? There we go, yeah. And by the way, there's a reason why the Bible over and over calls us sheep, right? So for those of you who do not have the privilege of working with stubborn, not so bright animals, let me tell you a little bit about sheep. Unless their shepherd actually makes the move on, sheep will actually ruin a pasture because they'll eat in the same spot until like the ground is absolutely destroyed. Sheep are also nearsighted and stubborn, but also easily frightened. A jackrabbit can stampede an entire flock. Sheep have no homing instincts. A dog, horse, or cat can find its way home, but once a sheep is lost, goodbye. And this one's kind of fun. There's a type of fly that will try and land inside the sheep's nose and lay their eggs in the sheep's snot, or at least in their mucous membranes, since it's damp up there. In order to find relief from the irritation of having worm-like larvae in their heads, sheep will deliberately beat their heads on trees, rocks, or posts. Sounds a lot like humans, doesn't it? With that in mind, let's turn to our passage from the morning. It'll be John 10, 1 through 12, or I'll be reading 1 through 10 at the moment. John 10. It's a big passage, so we won't have it up on the slides there. John 10, verses 1 to 10. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained to them, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me, were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. One thing is very clear in this passage is that Jesus was not trying to impress his audience. We read this from our 21st century perspective, but let's put this back in context. Back then, shepherds were not highly thought of. In those days, shepherds were not allowed to give testimony in court. They were considered that low on the social totem pole. I mean, we celebrate this fact at Christmas, right? Because angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing over the... And they appeared to the shepherds. Isn't it crazy that for the announcement of the greatest birth in the world, it was announced to the people who couldn't give testimony in court? So we see this over and over again in scriptures. And so Jesus here, the Son of God, the Word made flesh, God in human form, is telling us about his goodness while using shepherds as an object lesson. So surely those in the audience were not impressed. You know, verse 6 talks about how they didn't understand. I'm sure many of them didn't understand because they were kind of distracted by this metaphor Jesus was using. Why are you using shepherds to promote your goodness and things like that? Sorry, I got the wrong page here. I can see the shepherds also thinking, Jesus, let's work on your marketing. Let's work on your PR. You know, since a lot of the teenagers were younger, they're probably like doing the, you know, parents of teenagers, you know what I'm talking about, right? So I'm a parent of a teenager. I get that quite a lot. So, but Jesus talked about shepherds to talk about who he is. Why? Why would Jesus talk about spiritual warfare and use a metaphor like shepherds? It's because I think Jesus was presenting himself as the servant shepherd. Philippians 2, 6 through 7 says that though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a servant. So Jesus here is talking about protecting us from the devil, from our enemy, from the thief, but doing so in a servant's manner, in a lowly way. And then he goes on to say this in John 10, verses 11 and 12. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. There's no way a hired hand will lay down his life for sheep. You know, the ones that, you know, a jackrabbit could scare off. But the servant shepherd did. He came and he laid down his life for us, the sheep. And that is the shepherd that I want to follow. But sadly, the story doesn't end there, right? We all know too well that is not the end of the story. The thief and the robber is coming. And the thief and the robber is trying to take us, the sheep, from the servant, good shepherd. You know, John 10, Jesus uses the title of thief and robber. 1 Peter 5 talks about how the devil is a lion that's kind of prowling around. And whichever metaphor you use, well, let's just be honest, neither one of them is good. And both are out to destroy us. So let's think for a minute, how? How does the thief want to steal from us? How does the lion want to devour us? And I think one way is that in John 10, verses 3 and 4, let's think about this. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Isn't that crazy? Calls them by name. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. So as I read those verses, I think, what is it in your life that gets in the way of you hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd? The thief, the enemy, the devil, the prowling lion will use whatever he can to distract us from hearing from the voice of our good servant shepherd, doesn't he? Now I'm going to say something risky. It's probably not the best thing to bring up on a candidate weekend, but here we go. At youth group, I expect this to be put away. I know. There's this thing, there's an app called the Bible app. And I get that. I'm just using my app, man. No, you're not. And the reason I say that is because I have the Bible app. But you know what I'm doing when I'm reading the Bible on the Bible app? I'm distracted because I get a notification, right? Or then if I'm reading the Bible on the Bible app and I don't get a notification, then I start worrying, like, what's happening? Why am I not getting notifications? Do my friends not like me anymore? And so then I have to check out other apps to see what I'm missing out on. The mind is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's just so many things that are even good in this life. Dude, cell phones are great. There's so many things that are good in this life, but the devil can even use those to distract us from hearing the voice of the good servant shepherd. You know, in Matthew 7 it is, I believe, Jesus is talking about different types of soils. Oh, Matthew 13, I'm sorry. Different types of soils that just kind of represents when the word of God is planted in people's lives. In Matthew 13, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, and so fruit is not produced. There's so many things, good things, that the devil can use to distract us and take us away from hearing the voice of the shepherd. And let's just be fully honest here. We can't always just blame the enemy, the thief, the devil, the lion. You see, sometimes we actually invite the devil, the lion, to come get us. We do things that makes it easy for the devil to come and consume us and destroy us. Now, I know a lot of culture changes depending on which coast you live on, and so, you know, there'll be a learning curve. I did learn yesterday that Hot Cheetos are still very much a thing out here. It's huge in California, so there we go. At least that you know, yes, got one down. Okay, good. And I don't know what the culture is out here regarding, like, social media apps for students, but I know in our context in California, it's actually considered rude to unfollow or block a toxic person on your social media app. So my daughters, and I'm missing something over here. Or even my youth group students, they'll be on their phone and, like, they're triggered or they're bothered by something, and they're like, oh, this person bugs me so much. I can't believe that they do all this stuff. And I'm just like, stop following them. It'll be good for your mental health. But then they're like, no, we can't, because it's considered rude to block a toxic person. So there's this unwritten rule that you have to allow them to live rent-free in your head and have an effect on you. And as Christians, we can do that. We're kind of like, oh, I'm following the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd's going this way. I'm just wandering, checking things out. You know, instead of just cutting off the influence of the devil. You know what I'm talking about. We put ourselves in compromising situations. We compromise just a little bit, and then it leads to a bigger compromise. We put ourselves in situations and just damaging places. And we allow the devil to easily get to us. And if that's you, you know. We do know. When we're doing things that we get nudged by the Holy Spirit, hey, what are you doing? And we choose to shut that down. we're opening up an invitation for the devil to come get us. So just quickly think, what is it, first of all, what is it in your life that is causing you to not hear the voice of the good servant shepherd? But then also, where are you? Are you following closely? There is a phrase that the disciples would use. They would follow their rabbi, and they would be called the Talmudim. And the Talmudim say that they would be so close to their rabbi that they would be covered in his dust. As a sheep, do you follow the shepherd that closely? That you would be covered in the dust of the shepherd. And so if you are in a position that you know that maybe you're starting a compromise here, maybe you're putting yourself in a dangerous place there, I encourage you to come back. Let's pick back up with John 10, verse 10. It is one of my life verses. By the way, students, there's lots of times I'll be like, that's my favorite verse, right? Like, I do that a lot, don't I? That's my favorite verse. There's a lot, okay? So I have a lot of favorite verses. John 10, 10 is one of my favorite verses. Let's just make that clear. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. When I think of this verse, I actually think of fast food restaurants. This verse actually reminds me of Taco Bell, because that tells you how many options I have in my little small farming California town. Actually, I think when it comes to John 10:10 and the rich, satisfying life in fast food restaurants, you got to go with In-N-Out, but there's no In-N-Outs east of Dallas. So please help me find the East Coast equivalent of In-N-Out. But I digress. I love how the New King James Version translates this. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I think of overflowing, as another translation says. So like I said, when I think of this verse, I do think of a fast food restaurant. And I think of like those soda fountain machines that you can go up and like you do the U-fill thing yourself. And so you put it in there and you start filling it. And then since I'm a 40-year-old kid, you know like when you start filling it and you're like, dude, I'll bet you I can fill it to the point, you know, like where you fill it so much that you kind of get that little curve, you know, without it flowing over. And so you do that. But then you realize you can't move the cup, right? So what do you have to do? Sip it. That's right. But it's been looking so good coming out of the machine that you drink way too much. And so you're like, well, I can't go sit down. Like, I drank half the cup, right? So you do it again. And then, like, yeah, two for two. And then, like, you sip some more. And then you keep doing this back and forth until they kick you out of the fast food restaurant. Why don't we view God that way? I come to God and fill up, overflowing. Sometimes I'm doing that, and I start talking to the person next to me, and I'm just making a mess on the floor and all this different stuff. Why don't we see the grace of God in that manner, overflowing, spilling out? I'm going to have some, oh, I'm going to come back for more. I have come that they may have life and may have it overflowing. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and may have it more abundantly. Falling out of the cup, running over, making a mess. The grace of God. The joy of God, the strength of God, the hope of God, overflowing to the point where God is using you to even impact others as it overflows out of you into the people around you. I like this passage, Matthew 7. I think we have the slide for that. This is verses 13 and 14. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. So imagine with me a narrow dirt path surrounded by poison oak, which I am very, very allergic to, and bushes and thorns. As you walk on this, you know, single file on this narrow path, large boulders are hidden behind the overgrowth and they stick out and scrape your shins as you walk by. At one point, there's a tree branch. You know, I ran cross country in high school and we had at the top of our hill, because we had a terrible course to run, there was this, we called it Headache Hill, because there's this low branch that you actually kind of had to, you know, bob and weave from. So imagine you're walking on this narrow path and you come to this tree branch and you actually have to duck to get under. Off in the thicket there, you see a family of skunks. How many of you are going to go off the path? Not many. Though the path is narrow and cramped and you're complaining about your, you know, shins getting beat up from, you know, sticking out rocks and things like that, the satisfying life that the shepherd is leading us to is worth it. Let's follow the shepherd. Remember the freedom you felt when you had guilt and confessed it, and the experience of what it's like to be free from that guilt. That is the rich and satisfying life, isn't it? How satisfying is life when you can honestly echo the words of Nehemiah, who said that the joy of the Lord is my strength. That is the rich and satisfying and abundantly overflowing life. The hope that we have in the midst of difficulties. You know, for those of you who were not here last night or join in online, I talked about growing up with a dad who had undiagnosed bipolar and how it was difficult and, you know, even scarring in some different ways. But the fact that I can now use that, use my scars to help other people, that's part of the rich and satisfying life. God doesn't waste our experiences. God doesn't waste our hurts. To know that we have been given gifts and talents, that when we use them, we come alive, don't we? And as we come alive, we're also blessing others. That is part of the rich and satisfying life. On Friday, I was able to catch just really quickly a glimpse of Free Food Friday. Is that what it's called? Yeah, okay. And I just gotta say, like, just watching Darcy. There we go. Oh, there we go. Now, Darcy, am I in trouble? Yeah. There are some people I know, I mean, not yet, but in my current context, there are some people I can name drop, and other people will come up to me later and like, don't you ever again. But watching Darcy on Friday, she was using her gifts and her passion to serve and to bless. And I just commented to, I think it was my daughter, she's in her sweet spot. That's part of the rich and satisfying and overflowing life. God using our gifts and our talents and the things that we love doing. You know, John 10:9 says, they will come and go freely and will find good pastures. That is where the good servant shepherd wants to lead us to. Even in the midst of temptation from the devil, even in the midst of our struggles to remain loyal and faithful to following the Good Shepherd, that is where he wants to lead us. You know, a week and a half ago, I was on vacation. My wife and daughter went on a girls-only trip, so I wasn't invited. They went to all the cool places. They went to Zion National Park and Bryce Canyon and all these other really, really cool places. And I went to Oregon. And I visited my parents and some college friends, and actually my first church call was in Portland or Oregon, so I spent some time with some volunteers that I hadn't seen in years. And while I was there, one morning I walked along this path. So this is from my hometown there, Albany, Oregon, and you know, as I'm walking this path, I knew I was coming here, and so I'm outlining lots of different Bible studies in my head and, you know, preaching into my phone. Wait, how does gas work here? Do you pump your own gas here? Okay, yeah, that's what we do in California. In Oregon, you have to sit in your car. So it's kind of crazy. Like, I'm sitting there at Costco and Pastor Peter loves Costco. What have you learned? Pastor Peter loves Costco. So I'm sitting in the gas line at Costco. I'm preaching into my phone, and people are like, what's wrong with you? But I'm walking along this path here by the river, and I'm just kind of like doing the same outlining different ideas. But as I'm walking this path, I was taken back to my time as a teenager. As a teenager, I spent lots of time walking on that path, just pouring out my heart to God, just sharing all these anxiety-filled prayers and struggles. Why am I going through this in life? God, please let the girl that I'm really interested in eventually become my wife. You know, all these different things, you know, the things that you just pour your heart out to God over. And I just remember how deep those struggles were for me. But as I'm walking this path, I was just reminded of where I was and where I am now. And I'm so thankful that I followed the good shepherd, the good servant shepherd, who took me through many things and who I know will take me through many things the rest of my life. And I'm so thankful to be where I am now. And the servant shepherd is telling you, follow me. Just as he told me, this is where you have been and where you will go because you have followed me. He is calling each one of us here to follow him. And so just quickly, as we wrap this up, where are you in this story that we read here in John 10? Are you blocking out the voice? Do you find that you're blocking out the voice of the servant shepherd who's calling you to follow him? What is it in your life that is stopping you from hearing his voice? What ways have you compromised in ways that you know you need to step back from so that you can hear his voice again? Are you a sheep living too dangerously with a thief on the loose? Please come back to the shepherd who wants to bring you to the rich and satisfying life. His rich and satisfying life is abundant and is far better than anything we think we can achieve on our own. Or are you following the good shepherd so closely that you would be covered up in his dust as he walks along? We can trust in the voice of the servant shepherd who came and died and laid down his life for us. Trusting his leading is the beginning to the abundant life. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you for this experience this weekend. We thank you for this church. We thank you for how this church is bouncing back from the effects of COVID, Father God. We thank you for the growth that this church has been experiencing. But Lord, we just think of ourselves individually and in relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that we are walking closely, following you closely. Lord, if there's someone in here who is struggling to hear your voice, may you bring to their mind what it is that is distracting them from hearing you. Lord, if there's someone here who's wandering off, Lord, may the Holy Spirit remind them and may they step back into following the good servant shepherd. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and laying down your life for us as that servant shepherd. May we follow you closely. In Jesus' name, amen.